Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast featuring the Crop Doctors.
Good afternoon from the Crop Doctors Podcast studio in Stoneville. Tom and I have two extension guests with us this afternoon. We got Mr. Lance Newman, who is the regional extension coordinator out of Verona, which is the northeast region for extension. And Lance, I'm going to let you introduce our fourth podcaster today, since his title has recently changed.
It has. We're very fortunate to introduce and have with us today Mr. Alex Deason, a longtime extension agent in Sunflower County, but is your new REC in the Delta region. I've been serving as the interim for about a year and a half, but Alex is going to be our new REC over here in the Delta region.
So we're going to get into that because that's a decently new position. It's not always been part of Mississippi State Extension, so we're going to let y'all talk at length about those. But so Tom, Lance wanted to know what my question was. Lance also commented earlier about Dr. Bird and Dr. Bird's suggestions for gizzard choices across the state of Mississippi. So Lance, my question to you, as you've been running back and forth, you've been running around Mississippi for a long time anyway, but you've been running around the Delta, and now you're running around Northeast Mississippi as in your official capacity. What is your preferred stop on the highways in Mississippi? And it doesn't have to be specific cuisine, just your preferred stop. And if it is something cool, then we'll hear that too.
Yeah, my preferred stop is a home cooked meal, because being back and forth between these or doing it. So Papa V's there in Verona has a good plate lunch. Hilltop Grocery there on Highway 7 between Oxford and Water Valley has a real good one. Now, these are not good for you because they're greasy, fried, really unhealthy for you, but they're extremely good. So that would be my choices of those back and forth.
All right, Tom. Verona, Water Valley. That's all in your halo of operations.
What about them?
Well, I mean, you go back and forth.
I do run
Verona pretty regularly.
I do run back and forth between Verona pretty regularly. I don't stop. I take my lunch with me, though.
You still eating the tuna fish on the road?
Sometimes. Tuna on a salad, absolutely.
That's tough, man.
Why do you think that's tough?
Well, it's because you eat it straight out of the can. You don't. There's no add-ons.
It goes straight on top of a salad. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I mean, I've done it,
you
too.
You don't do that?
Well, I have. But it's not my preferred lunch.
It's all right. Or whatever meat's in the house that's a leftover.
Lance, regional extension coordinators. Our first experience with that was when Kurt Lacey came to Stoneville, and that's probably been, what, 9 or so years ago?
Correct. 8 or 9.
Terrible with dates like that.
I don't remember, but that sounds about right. 14, 15, something along those lines.
And I think Kurt was actually the first one of those positions that Mississippi State hired. I mean, they were all...
I believe that's correct.
We had one in South. Wayne Porter was one. It was an area agent in this area, worked the Delta area out of Panola County, and then was in the same role in Southeast Mississippi, Hattiesburg, Coast, that area.
Well, describe that position to our listeners, and maybe the hierarchy, the flow of information down through extension to that position, and then the responsibilities of that position.
I think the main thing is one, we're just a part of that team. We're a leader for our counties within each region. We have 4 regions: Northeast, Northwest, or the Delta, Southeast, and Southwest. And we're the leaders for that extension county programming. We're over the county programming to make sure it's being implemented, work with our agents, help them help producers, help them to be that liaison between the university, between the county, and get programs done, get needs assessments done, and meet the needs of the clientele within your region.
Alex, given that your role has been predominantly at the county level, why don't you talk to us about what's offered from the county office? Because I think we don't talk enough about it from the extension standpoint, that it is essentially an all-encompassing one-stop shop when it comes to information.
It is, but one of the primary goals for a county office is to be the eyes and ears for specialists, because we get to hear the vast majority of topics that are getting spoken about at the grocery store, the coffee shop, And once you hear it once or twice and it becomes a big issue, they may come to you and say, hey, is there anything out there on that? And that's when we in turn turned our specialists and say, hey, this is what we've been hearing. Have y'all heard the same thing? And most of the times y'all have, and you're like, hey, I've got a direct answer because I've been looking at it for the past 5 years. And so it's able to connect our general public that may not be tech savvy, may not get out of the farm very often with the research. Our primary goal as an extension service back to the home front and impact, you know, their livelihood. So we can do a lot of things, and it's not just ag-specific, but we'll talk ag-specific, like the variety trials. They're done in a lot of different counties. We work with specialists in order to implement those, but at the end of the day, that goes in the hands of a lot of different people to help aid their decision-making. You spend a lot of time in there looking at diseases, so your information goes in the hands of not only the guys that are end users, it goes in the hands of retailers and consultants that help that as well.
Alex, you're the Ag and Natural Resource Agent, or have been the Ag and Natural Resource Agent for Sunflower County, but then you've got some other folks that work in your office too. Can you describe those other programs that are offered at the county level in Extension?
Well, actually, in our office, we were a two-agent office where we had A&R/4-H, which is me, and then I had a lady that just retired that was FCS/4-H.
Tell folks what FCS is.
Family Consumer Sciences, I'm sorry. What that was able to do is anything that was home ec or that type of stuff, 4-H related, she took. So she taught sewing, kids in the kitchen, canning, healthy homes, a lot of different topics that were quote-unquote inside. And then I did 4-H for livestock, shooting sports, livestock judging, meats judging, seed ID, seed quality. Me and now works for Farm Bureau Craig Hankins did the 4-H crop school, which got kids outside. So there's a whole host of things that we do 4-H related. Just every county office dynamic is different. Some counties have a sole 4-H agent, and their sole responsibility is 4-H related, where we still have some counties that are dual hat. And it doesn't necessarily depend on the workload, but it may depend on what's offered.
Or Lance, in a county that is maybe not as agriculture or row crop agriculture heavy, what might the makeup of a county extension office look like?
It'd be very much the same. Our goal is to have at least two agents in every county, and in some, three. That goes back to funding. We all know those things. But we have an A&R component, and that component's different. I've been in the Delta area and the Delta region as an animal science person for years, but in some counties, animal science is not really big, but in a lot of counties it is. Same way in the hills in the northeast region. We have row crops, of course, but we also have a lot of other agriculture that we don't have here. Livestock, goats, sheep, other things. Home horticulture becomes a bigger area of programming, a bigger area of need in when we get into DeSoto County, you get into Lafayette County, Tupelo, where it's more urban, you'll have more of those. You have some in every, but it becomes more available, so we target more programming there. We continue to have FCS programming, the Family and Consumer Science programming, and that is needed in every county in various aspects, whether it's working with homemaker volunteers, whether it's doing programs in schools that are educating them about sewing or cooking healthy or different things that can be provided. 4-H is a big aspect of Mississippi State Extension. It will always be. It is very, very important. We would love to have an 4-H extension agent in every county. It's a need. It varies by county. Some are more livestock, more forestry, more FCS related, but it's a need in every county along with the other disciplines. We also have an emphasis on CNRD, Community and Resource Development. Sometimes we forget about that, but that's a role that plays big in every county. We want them to be a part of their elected officials, know who their elected officials are, have them involved in meetings, programmings, just like we want to have a relationship with farmers and school teachers and anybody else involved. We want to have a relationship with our elected officials, our community leaders. They can help us out in a lot of ways.
I was just sitting here thinking about home ec. I mean, when I was in high school, when Jason was in high school, home ec was at the high school level. But it's always been available at the extension office level. And I think at this point, it's probably not offered at the high school level anymore.
It varies. In some schools, you'll still have some basis. Some of that technology has gotten better. It's not the same thing it is. We're doing a canning workshop for our extension agents here coming up in a couple of weeks to teach them how to properly can, because since 2020, people are looking at other options. They're looking at different ways to raise food, but also then how do I store it? Canning is an option on a lot of things, so we're doing some training and teaching our extension agents on how to can. You know, I had a lot of agents ask me, said, I need to learn how to can. I didn't know how to can, but I reached out to our specialists, people we have that can do that, and we can provide the training for our agents, and then they can go teach it in their counties that help their local clientele.
The 4-H aspect of it, Alex, how much in your role in Sunflower County, and again, the counties are different, but how much of your time was devoted to 4-H?
Trick question.
Absolutely.
So,
and the reason I ask, because you listed off a number of different 4-H programs or 4-H activities that you were involved in, and I just suspected that it was going to be a pretty high number.
The black and white on paper is supposed to be 60-40 ag, well, actually 60-30-10 with CRD in there, but to be honest, it comes in waves depending on calendar. Starting in March, I'm a lot better off with my adult clientele on the farming aspect. And then midsummer, irrigation kind of kicks in. You know, I'm still a big proponent in irrigation, running with some of Drew Golson's programs. But my youth picks up because we have summertime projects. You know, we got Club Congress, all the summertime 4-H activities, horse show, that type of stuff. And then the fall, obviously, is harvest. My youth aspect kind of goes down. My adult goes up. And then immediately following harvest, we have two things. We have our evaluation of what we did, you know, research-wise, plot-wise, irrigation-wise, some meetings. But then we have 4-H responsibilities like livestock shows that go up. So at times, it's 100% 4-H, 0% adult. And then in 3 days, it may be 100% adult and 0 4-H. And you just kind of balance it out as to where the calendar is and what we're doing inside the county. My biggest goal is to make sure that my county's needs are met. And we're pretty self-sufficient. And my guys that are part of the farming community are also, their kids are part of 4-H. So they understand the time gaps, and they understand the willingness to help out, you know, where things may go lacking.
Alex, moving into your new position as the Regional Extension Coordinator, what do you want folks to know about the Delta region with Mississippi State Extension? And Lance, feel free to chime in too, because, I mean, you've been in that role for a number of months now.
The biggest thing, and one of the primary reasons that I wanted this position or was willing to take this position is we have an excellent team. We have a great group of agents that are willing to help. We have a great county base. We have a rich history. Not taking anything away from the rest of the state, but you throw Delta in a conversation, there's a lot of conversation that can be had. And we have some issues that we can resolve, and Extension's well on its way to helping the clients of the Mississippi Delta and the rest of the Northwest region. So being able to link those together, just like being able to link the county office with specialists to help producers, that's one of the biggest things that I want to take pride in, is we're here. We're not going away. We're there to help. And no matter what question you ask, we want to be able to answer it at the end of the day.
I'll add that I think teamwork is the key. We all know that within our careers, we have to rely on other people. We have a great team in the Delta. We have a great team all throughout Mississippi with the Extension Service. We all work together, and that's what it's all about, because what we want to do is help the clientele in each county and each region to meet their needs, to educate them, to provide opportunities for their kids. That's where 4-H does, because there's so many opportunities out there. We want to be part of that. We want to build relationships. I tell new agents that start out, younger agents, just meet your people. Have a relationship with your specialists, your producers, your school teachers, whoever's in your community. Get to know them. get to know people involved and have a relationship about it, because that's what extension's about, teaching communication and building relationships with people is what we do.
Well, lots of times it's just being comfortable knowing that you have to pick up the phone and call and ask somebody for that word that we don't necessarily have an easy time dealing with, which is just asking somebody for help. And that's, I mean, we don't spend enough time probably talking about that, but we all have to pick up the phone and call and ask somebody. And sometimes that may not be how it comes out, but it's nice to know that that group of people is there that can support what we're doing in any of those topics that we've listed off.
I feel like among that group of A&R agents, the agriculture agents in the Delta region, there's a lot of new faces. How many agents do we have in this region? I don't want to take anything away from the other regions, but this is where Tom and I are. But how many do we have that have been here like maybe less than 3 years? Because I feel like it's a number of them.
There's five new agents that we have that we've hired in this role since I've been in this position. I've hired seven. That's in one in another region too, but we have a lot of new agents within the Extension Service. We have five here that are within the Delta region. Some of them have a background in row crop agriculture, the biggest thing in the Delta. Some don't, but they can still be good communicators, know who their farmers are, producers, and things like that.
And that's five out of, is there 19 counties in this region? I mean, that's a pretty good percentage of them that are relatively new or really new. I mean,
well, some of those that's been, they have, some of those positions had been vacant for a significant number of years. It takes a while to find the right person. I get that. And in some cases, I think COVID kind of threw a wrench in some of those things.
No doubt.
I won't necessarily direct this question at either of you specifically, so chime in if you want, but what's the future of Extension look like? And that's, you know, I won't expect an answer just right yet, but I think we really should preface that with, we all talk, and I mean, it definitely at Jason and I's level, about the fact that Extension is still alive and very vibrant in this state. We feel pretty strongly about Extension here, and we still put a lot into Extension at every level, but what's the general direction moving forward for the Extension Service?
So I'll throw out this. Humans are social beings. COVID taught us that. You can only spend so long in incubation period before you've got to talk to somebody else. Generally speaking, and I guess for the goodness of what we do, is the farming community so tight-knit that they're going to talk regardless. Now, as far as where is Extension most prone, yes, we do have a lot of power at our fingertips. Where Extension is going to gain its traction is, can we get our name on that power? Can we make sure that when they look it up, they're not looking at a source that's not credited? Can they look up something that came from Mississippi State University? Can it have our name to it? That shows them that we've done the research behind it. As far as the county level, it's going to stay vibrant because of relationships that are built. We're social creatures. We're going to be the ones that are still going to church with everybody in our community, going to be seeing each other at the gas station, the grocery store. I talk about it as generational tiers. My grandfather's generation, he's going to call you, and he's going to expect a visit, and he wants something hard copy. Now, it may ride on his dash for the next 6 months before he ever looks at it, but he wants something to refer back to. My dad's generation, you give him a phone call, give him an answer, he's going to say, okay. He may forget it in 15 minutes, but he got his question answered. My generation, is there a YouTube video, Instagram reel? Can I watch it? But that's where we got to pick up that accreditation. We got to make sure that we're getting our name out there so when they look, is that coming from somebody that's trustworthy? Do they have the research behind it? And we're always going to be in the communities. We're always going to be able to provide the information thanks to specialists that has the accredited version of the science-backed information. Can we continue to change how maybe we put that information out there? Not everything needs to be on black and white paper, hence the podcast. Podcast reaches a whole demographic that 20 years ago, there's no way I'm going to sit there and listen to people talk going down the road. Now people are like, you know, that this makes a lot of sense. So y'all are the forefront of this. Congratulations.
I'll echo that. I think we have to be open-minded. I think we have to be innovative to reach clientele. Every now and then I hear say that older generation is not on Facebook, but they are. A lot of them are. Not everybody, but they are. So we have to be innovative of how we reach people. But it's still about building a relationship with that person, being involved in that community on a county level, at church, at school functions, you know, whatever the case may be, we're still involved. We are relevant. We have to do a better job of promoting ourselves. When I say ourselves, I'm not talking about Alex or Tom or Lance. I'm talking about extension. I'm talking about we've got to promote what we do good and how we do it. How can we benefit you in your lives? There's a lot of things that do that in all areas of discipline, whether it be the family consumer science side with a Cooking Matters program, whether it's a specialist in an irrigation program that Drew's working with him and Alex to help make that producer more viable. Show them what we do. Let them know what we do. Continue to make ourselves relevant and promote ourselves. I've been with Extension for over 25 years. I've been through some changes. Right now, with our new director that we have, I see out in the communities with him, with some of the staff he's putting together, with our RECs, more excitement from our agents than I've seen in a long time, because there's things going positive. Things are looking up. We're looking to make changes that help producers, that help agents, and to continue to grow in Extension. That's what we have to do, is just reach that people and promote ourselves.
Who is it always says that Extension's like the best-kept secret in this state? I don't remember who used to say that. You're looking at me strangely, Jason.
That sounds very much like a Joe Streetism.
Yes.
I probably would say that as a Joe Streetism. Okay. Oh,
yeah. We can give him credit. He'll probably take it, I'm sure.
With some of the other things you said, I could hear him saying that one.
Yep. Yeah, everybody's got at least three, if not five.
He seems to come up regularly on here.
He's a one-liner.
And he's not yet even set foot in this room.
I don't know that he would do it, Lance.
I bet he would. We could probably get him on there.
I don't know about that.
I would like to be sitting in. I don't have to speak during that time, but I would like to be sitting in when he does the interview.
Man, the stories. Okay, I lost focus for a minute.
Don't you dare cut that out of there.
I was imagining how that conversation went.
He might look like a deer in the headlights if you put him in front of one of these microphones.
Tom, put Street on your running list.
My running list is on the corner of my desk, but I'll put it on there. We need to figure out a way to get him over here for something.
Oh, he'll show up.
It shouldn't be difficult.
He'll be over here for something.
Shouldn't be difficult. Well, do either of you two have any parting comments?
Contact your local county office. Get to know your extension agent. They can help you even if you don't think you need help.
I would echo that. I mean, I think that phone number is probably pretty simple to track down. The MSU Cares website, it's probably not even MSU Cares anymore. Is it still MSU Cares?
No, it's not.
Wow. See?
Come on.
There you go.
But everybody knows what MSU Cares is, though.
That's right.
It still takes you to the same spot, though.
I'll echo that. Just reach out. Agents and clientele, reach out to your people. There's so much valuable information that Extension can offer, especially here in the Delta. Well, we got the leading specialists in the country right here at our doorstep. Let's utilize one another, work together, build those relationships for our producers, for our clientele of the state of Mississippi.
Well, we appreciate y'all taking time out of your afternoon to sit down with us. Alex, congratulations, man. Look forward to working with you in a new capacity. I know you'll do well at that once you get off and running at it. Congratulations and good luck, man.
Thank you.
You have a great asset in Alex coming in to take this role, so you'll be in good hands. No worries whatsoever.
Appreciate it. Thank you both for being here.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is a production of Mississippi State University Extension.